8 or 9 years of age. Yes, that's right. She had been touring a lot. She was, you know, Sunday Night at the London Palladium, Albert Hall, you name it, in America and all over the place. And she'd been away for 6-8 weeks, I think it was. She was very homesick, and apparently, as I'm told, she was missing myself and my brother. So my father arranged for us to fly over to London. It was the first time I'd ever been in a plane. I was as sick as a dog. We were secreted in the digs where the theatre dancers were living.
Uh-huh.
And for a 10-year-old boy, that was a very exciting experience. And then on the last night of the show, at the end of the finale, the manager of the hotel, of the theatre, presented Bridie with the golden key, because she had done better business than anybody since Mary Lloyd in 1910, I think it was. And then she had a special surprise and brought us up. So
yeah,
you picture the two little boys.
Oh, that's
up.
Lovely. Yeah.
Everybody's in floods of tears and all that. So it was the first time that I'd been in theatres before, but it was the first time I was ever actually on the stage.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this vast auditorium. This is the Metropolitan Theatre in London, which is now gone. And it was a vast auditorium. And I was absolutely terrified when I was standing there. Great to see my mum. And I think that was the time I thought, wow, she really is famous. I'd heard about her singing, but we did. We often used to ask, you know, how did mummy get into the radio?
You ended up as her roadie come musical director.
Yeah.
And that must have got you around to lots and lots of places. Did you meet anybody famous like your mother? Or more famous?
I remember one night, it was her birthday, we were in London, and so as a treat, I took her to the Talk of the Town.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bachelors were the headline act. And so we sat, and I booked a table near the stage, and I could not believe it, because as I said before, if I didn't realise my mother was famous, on this particular occasion in Leicester Square's Talk of the Town, all of these theatre acts, Roy Hood, and the Bachelors, and Tommy Steele was there, and they're all coming up, Bridie love, how are you darling, and I'm sort of sitting there going, holy God. And then there was a party afterwards in the Bachelors' dressing room. And I just lost count of all of these household names you saw on television.
Was she a diva?
She could be.
Mm-hmm.
She was very demanding.
Yes.
She had this thing that everything had to be right. She refused point blank to go on stage if the sound wasn't right or the lighting wasn't right. And it used to drive me crazy when I was travelling with her. God, for God's sake, I've tried my best.
Yeah.
And but when I look back on it, she was absolutely right. She wanted every performance to be as good as the last. Never, ever second rate, you know.
And I know you have a little anecdote about George Martin and a couple of boys that he was about to meet.
It's one of those things that not a lot of people know this, but I have the letters to prove it. Her first four albums were recorded with EMI,
mm-hmm.
and they were a fantastic success. And on them, Boys from the County Armagh and Homes of Donegal and Two Little Orphans. And those first four albums sold millions right around the world. And they were recorded in EMI Studios, which later became Abbey Road Studios. And the director, musical director, he sort of did all the orchestrations and so on. They had a orchestra, and they had a German accordionist and so on. But the producer was George Martin. And he would be into the studio, he'd be mm-hmm. keeping an eye on everything. And she just knew him as George,
yeah.
Terribly, terribly polite George. And she was due for a fifth album, and she was due that September. This was about 1961, I think it was. And she gets a letter from George, my dear Bridie, that is the way the letter was written, my dear Bridie, I am so sorry, I cannot be with you at your next recording because I have a band of young boys coming from Liverpool and we're trying them out. So Bridie was there in one studio with the musical director and the orchestra. She's doing At Home with Bridie Gallagher, that mm-hmm. was the album. And in the next studio is four young lads from Liverpool, it was the Beatles. And George just felt he had to keep an eye on them to see how they were, because he knew Bridie would be fine, she'd
yeah.
be okay. And she never met them.
They never met her.
They never met her, and it was years later, the penny didn't drop with her, and I said to her years later, do you realise you and the Beatles were in the same studios? Oh, yeah, I suppose we were. Yeah, I think, you know. So,
I have a quotation from you.
Oh, me?
I decided I would not perform an autopsy, but rather write the story of a real person. Now, this refers to the book which you've written about your mother. What prompted you to write it?
Well, after she died, I had quite a few journalists ringing and writing to me and saying, you must write Bridie's life story. I mean, it is a fascinating story. At first, I didn't want to do it because I thought it was a sort of showbizy thing. But people kept saying, you know, Jim, you know, there's things about how she learned her trade and how she persisted through all the traumas and that she experienced in her life. I mean, it's a story of a woman who actually fought to the very bitter end to be successful. And I thought, right, okay, I will do it. And then, of course, I had to find a publisher, which I had six publishers who wanted to take the book on. But then I had one or two journalists saying, are you going to give us a kiss and tell? I said, what do you mean kiss and tell? So I would often describe it as, I'm going to invite you into my mother's house. You're welcome to sit in the sitting room. You're welcome to have a cup of tea in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You're welcome to use the bathroom. But I'm not taking you into her bedroom.
Yes.
You don't need to. To understand this woman, there are no, you know, major sexual scandals in her life. So I thought, what the hell? Why am I going to waste time and stuff just to gratify, you know, some sort of, pernicious thinkers? And actually, I still found a lot of, not scandal, but real surprises. I discovered that she was engaged to be married, and she'd never told me.
Yes.
She'd never told anybody. And, that was a major shock. I discovered that her parents stopped her going to the convent grammar school, where she would have done her leaving cert, whatever it was in those days, and would have gone on to college. She was a very bright girl. So I discovered all these things that she never told me, but then I began to understand the character that she became, and the obstacles that she overcame, and her marriage breaking down, and so on, and losing her son, my younger brother Peter, once I'd done my research and found all these things out about her that I didn't know, then the book came together because I realised that it was a story of, particularly in today's age of harsh Me Too. It's a story of how a woman in a very male-dominated world broke through and became a success.